When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Miss Rosalyn, Jen Kern, Mersasi Chow, Elizabeth Richardson, Chris Eversole, Shadow Spinner, Amy Carlo, Nicholas Gropp, Ace, Le Canard. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to a special episode of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Newell. With me today, I have
Lydia Nicholas,
Helen Gould,
Ben Meredith,
and special guest
Grant Harris.
Ooh. Hello, Grant.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
Tired.
Forgive me, you are going to want to lean into the mic slightly.
Yeah.
Great.
for everyone else, you've now gone from sort of like in a distant room to right in their ears.
Hello. It's very comfortable here.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Grant.
I'm in your ears. My name is Grant Howard. I am a game designer. I most notably designed Spire, a game what we're going to play today.
Exciting.
I also done Goblin Quest.
Which you also came in and played with.
Yeah, which we did a while ago.
And it got horrendous with piano played by, like, hitting horses
no
and
one
stuff.
Forced you to make that noise.
Alex? Really
go back and listen to that.
It's just the worst.
So you're just encouraging them now.
I made a really good joke about Microsoft emailing software.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Oh, you did. Good.
Yeah. No, it was very funny in retrospect.
It improved
it's
our
nice
outlook.
To hear you admit it, Grant.
Yeah.
That's terrible. No. I'm not even going to look at you.
Word.
So tell us a bit about Spire.
Spire is a... Are we done with the Microsoft Office jokes now?
I'm totally
okay,
done.
Cool. Yeah, cool. One more?
Just don't go too loud, it'll get clippy.
Yeah. I'm worried.
Well done.
I'm worried after this, none of them are going to excel.
Nice.
Word.
Okay.
No!
Yeah, Lydia already did that one. And it's on mic.
Oh, yeah. No. We'll cut it. That's hilarious again.
No! Sorry, Grant.
Tell us about Spire,
We're
Grant.
Really, yeah, ruining Grant. Your masterpiece here.
Get us back on track, Grant.
Spire is a role-playing game. I know, right?
Hold the phone.
Imagine that. So, hello. This is Spire. Spire is a role-playing game. The player characters are a cell of radical dark elves. They're freedom fighters in a fantasy city, a mile-high fantasy city called Spire, which has been colonized by wicked high elves from the far north.
Boo!
As a cell of ministers, as you're known, you are members of the ministry of our hidden mistress. You're worshipping a forbidden drow goddess of the moon, the dark side of the moon. You have sworn in blood and sacred shadow to overthrow the city of Spire and reinstate the drow as the rulers by any means necessary, although generally spying and then riots. That's generally how these things sort of shake out. I think that's enough to get people going on it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Do we have a mission for the day?
Yes, we do. I was wondering whether we should do that in character or not.
Yes, definitely. All things are better in character.
It will be explained in a flashback.
Yes!
Oh, yes! Amazing.
Nothing's not flashbacks.
So a bit about the system probably be a good idea as well.
Cool. Okay, this is a pretty straightforward D10 system. You will always be rolling one dice, one d10, when you do a thing. You'll also add a d10 if you have the relevant skill or domain. Skills are actions, domains are broad areas of knowledge and expertise. They're in your sheet. Hopefully it should be self-explanatory what's on there. If you have any questions, feel free to ask, and I will try and tutorial you through it as we go. When you roll those d10, tell me what your highest one is, and I will consult the core mechanic bit, which has literally 5 entries, but I forget them every time I look at it. And I'll tell you whether you succeed or whether you fail, etc., or whether you succeed and take stress. Stress is the most important part of the system. You have some little boxes at the bottom of your sheet, but I will be keeping track of your stress for you. Stress is a abstract idea of things going wrong for you. Think of it like misfortune. So it's getting hit in the face, running out of money, being embarrassed.
I mean, they all sound very stressful.
They are very stressful. Or having the secret police know who you are.
Yeah. Getting quite a divorce, stressful. Moving house.
Yeah, those are all those are all versions of stress, which we can reflect and inspire, thankfully. Every time you take stress, I'm going to roll a dice. If it comes under your total amount of stress, then you'll take fallout, which is a concrete thing which happens. Not a punishment, more of a story development. We try to make them as interesting as possible. So don't fear fallout.
Could fallout possibly be death?
Yes, but even then we give you a chance to do something cool.
Awesome.
Please don't die in like the opening like setting descriptions.
I was just wondering if we were functionally immortal.
No.
That's useful to know.
No, you are. You can die. And Spire can be quite a brutal system if you roll badly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So let's begin, shall we?
I guess so, yes.
Okay. This is Spire. Spire is a mile-high city ruled by the Elfir. It's so tall and so impossibly built that reality has gone off in the middle, and there's a blistering hole called the Heart, where nightmares and unreality bleed out through the city. About a century ago, the Elfir decided they would build a train network from the Heart throughout the city, which of course was a terrible idea, and now there is effectively train hell all the way through.
It's the central line.
It's the central line. Yeah.
Does it have ghost trains?
Mainly ghost trains.
Yes.
There's ghost trains. There's one surviving train which can't be stopped.
Oh, yes!
The last train. Which I mentioned because it will possibly come up later on account of Lydia's character. Mm. However, we are going to go down through the levels of Spire, through New Heaven atop the Spire, where the dead are left to be pecked apart by ravens and crows and hyenas, and down further into the glittering frozen halls of Amaranth, where the High Elves made their home, past the Silver Quarter, which is fantasy Las Vegas crossed with fantasy Venice, then down into the Works, which is a thumping, rolling hub of machinery and production, down to the Garden District, where corpses hang from spider silk threads and mushrooms blossom from their skin, and down further and deeper down, under the Spire, into the Underspire, to Red Row, where our story takes place. Red Row is a smoky, dangerous knot of activity and crime. It is the place which brings the worst and the best of the Undercity. Chief amongst the entertainments in Red Row is Arena, which is an arena.
slow down.
Whoa. Losing track of it here.
You're losing me.
Red Row and Arena is run by Mother Moon and expatriate Noll. The High Elves are at war with the Nolls to the south, and many drow are conscripted into the armies and forced to fight against the Noll. Two of you were in character.
Ah, yes.
Well, maybe out of character, I don't know. But two of your characters were members of the army. And Arena is Red Row's premier entertainment, most popular entertainment hotspot. Built in an old step well, there is a broad arena at the bottom, obviously, where people watch fights. They bid vast amounts of money. Fights are generally fought to first blood or to death. And there is a grand tradition of betting on yourself in a death match.
Those are two very different fights.
Yes.
There's not much space for middle ground.
What would you suggest for middle ground? Knockout?
Third blood?
Yeah, seventh,
you want, like,
blood.
Seventh blood.
First limb loss.
Yeah. First limb loss.
Yeah.
Might also lead to
nipples.
Death.
First nipples. First nipple. Nip slip.
First nip slip. That's a good solid middle ground.
It's today, boys.
I don't think the Southern
Baptists are going to enjoy
that.
We are fighting in the Janet Jackson style. There is a grand festival being held in Red Row. Popular in the docks above ground is a style of drow theatre called de sang, which means of blood, and it is a sort of semi-improvised fight opera, fight brawl, fight improv theatre. We'll get there. A semi-improvised story with various scripts and scenes, which will take along, and at various points through the story, there will be a fight, generally to first blood or to unconsciousness or to tap out. Is that the sort of thing you're after, like tapping out?
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
there we are. Yeah, yeah, like wrestling do.
Yeah.
The winner of those fights will winning the play and the fiction that determine the way in which things progress. Which is neat. However, that is a popular form of drow theatre. At Elphia, called Souvain Blossom in Winters, has decided that they will write a grand magnum opus. They're voiced by James... James...
Spader?
No. Begins with an M. Eddie Izzard does the voice. Oh, James Mason. There we are. Souvain Blossom in Winters has written his grand magnum opus, their grand magnum opus, The Fall of Spire, a three-day-long descent opera recreating the climactic colonization and war and then colonization to take Spire when the High Elves arrived 200 years ago, give or take, and took Spire from those dastardly Dark Elves. You have been positioned here by your Magister. Your Magister is called Magister Delve, and they are played by Natalie Dormer.
Yay! They're all played by Natalie Dormer.
Yeah, if you need, so. Every Magister I have is played by Natalie Dormer, and if you need motivation for anything, imagine Natalie Dormer wanted you to do it. It's easy enough, I think.
What was their name, sorry?
Delve.
Natalie.
Magister Delve, but hopefully they won't come up too often. Because the more you contact the organizer of your secret cell, maybe things have gone wrong. You have been tasked during this three-day opera with two main missions. One, to protect a promising young occultist by the name of Jessica Malreek. She is performing in the opera, not on the fighty side so much, more on the magical singy side. The ministry are trying to recruit her or turn her in some way, and so she has to stay safe throughout this. Also, you can't just rock up to her and say, hey, we're from the ministry, get in the bag. It has to be secret.
Well, what if it's a really safe bag?
If it's a really safe bag, we'll talk.
Okay.
Your second objective for this is the army, the enlisted forces, have sent along a detachment of troops to try and keep the peace, because this is going to be a powder keg of a situation. There's going to be a lot of very posh people coming down to watch this magnum opus. Normally this sort of thing would not be done in Red Row, but Souvain Blossom in Winter decided to run it in the traditional drow style in drow country. So he's basically gone to he's gone to Dreg Town, and so there's going to need to be a lot of military police and soldiers there keeping the peace. There is a captain of the guard of the soldiers called Captain Bonchance, who you are going to need. Yeah, actually, that is a funny name. You are going to need to turn. You're going to need to get some leverage or some blackmail over him, or do something.
Get in the bag. It's safe.
They're not so interested in turning. In recruiting Bonchance, but more having them implicated in something or having leverage over them.
Okay.
Our story starts. There's a camera above Arena. Souvain Blossom in Winter announces their grand magnum opus, Fall of Spire, and talks at length about the people who are in the play, which we will go into in a little bit when you get some sort of... there'll be a handout. Not that I've written a handout, but sitting in the audience is our cell of ministers watching the Souvain announce their grand magnum opus. Can we get an introduction as to who you all are, please?
Sure. So I am Monsoon. I'm playing an idol, which is a magic artist.
A sorcerer.
Yeah, bewitches people with their skill and charm and beauty.
So incredibly bleached white skin and incredibly dark hair, wearing sort of dark blue robes in which is secreted a longsword from the arena. I have a sort of mirrored veil which I can pull over my head to create a mirrored visor for when I'm fighting. That's basically what I look like.
Friend. I am Sergeant Redweather. I am a knight. I am... For some reason, the first thing that came to mind was like that dog in a knight costume out of Undertale. like greater dog. That's not actually what I look like.
Really big, a tiny little head.
You need to find references other than Captain America and Undertale.
No! All right, Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Yeah. That one nearly has knights in.
Just looks like Bucky.
No. Okay, right. Be original and entertaining. Yeah. Okay, Sergeant Redweather.
Bucky crossed with Cap.
Oh.
That's hot.
Oh God.
Helen's going to need a minute.
We've broken Helen.
I love them. Right, okay. Sergeant Redweather is 6 foot tall, and does no, that's Azu.
We can
3 foot
this.
Tall.
No, that's Grizz up.
Right, Sergeant Redweather is normal sized.
How fascinating. I really wish you'd referenced Captain America. That might have been a bit better.
Wears normal trousers.
quite normal.
Incredibly
face.
Standard jacket.
He's got a face like a pink balloon. Just completely generic.
Nah. No, but drow, monochrome coloured.
Oh, yeah, grey balloon.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to go for Sergeant Redweather is just like completely grey. Okay. Like, it's like just all the colour is gone. They've got grey hair, grey eyes. Like the Green Knight out of Gawain the Green Knight. The bit where it's like, and their hair was grey and their eyes were grey and their nose was grey and their teeth were grey and the horse was grey and their ears were grey. Everything is grey. They are not welcoming looking. They are forbidding. They have a great sword. They have a scar over one eye.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's hot.
And they look like the threatening person in the corner of the nasty pub that you don't want to go in. Yeah, there we go. Got there.
I am playing Mel. Mel is a Vermissian sage. Mel didn't do the 4 years of service that the other characters did. Instead, they fell in with a gang of thieves. So they spent their youth sneaking around and nicking stuff, which will be completely unfamiliar to anyone who's listened to this podcast before. Being a Vermissian sage means they are deeply entangled in the numtot hellscape that is the dead hellish transport system network. They are desperately interested in protecting pure drow culture and dive into the Vermissian tunnels whenever they can to research things and learn stuff, investigate things, and sometimes throw enemies into. Rather importantly, all of their organs are replaced with bees. And at that point, I will end the... No, okay, what they look like, they are pale, almost see-through, sort of like blanched white skin, but there's enough sort of sticky honey leaking out of the crevices in their jacket, and their like seems to drip from the corner of their eyes sometimes. That
what
when
colour
they
is the honey?
Oh, the honey is honey coloured, like golden. But that means that they much of them seems to be stained, like under their fingernails and at the corner of their lips.
Just imagine the state
just
of your pockets.
The honey, yeah.
I'm just thinking,
so
like
sticky.
You
so
have to
linty.
Avoid pillows so
yeah.
much.
Just there's a stickiness.
Make a pillow of bees.
Yeah. But the thing is that because the honey is warm, because it's on them, it runs off quite easily. It's not disgusting at all. They speak slightly slowly because the bees that are operating their lungs don't always necessarily reflect the emotion that might be. So they sound impatient all the time.
Okay.
Bee powers. They've got bee powers. It's written in caps at the bottom of my sheet. Bee powers. We'll see how that... Like, tune in next week.
So I will be playing Tirest, who is a Lejan, who was a sniper who served underneath Sergeant Redweather. He always carries a massive duffel bag, does Lejan, Triest. I mean, he never really seems to open it, and it's always on his back, but it's there. An unnecessarily large duffel bag that often is just inappropriate for the situation. I mean, he doesn't even have a formal duffel bag for, you know, black tie occasions. It's always the same duffel bag. In terms of clothing, he's extremely shabby looking. He is extremely mucky looking. And in terms of sort of tone for a drow, as dark as you can get before it stops being a drow and starts being just a shade of colour in and unto itself, like a dark room or something. Just very, very mucky, very, very dark. I'm very tempted to say has a scar over both eyes, but I'm not going to do that. What I would say is there's a good chunk of his left ear is missing at this stage from some kind of long-forgotten fight. In terms of sort of abilities, in addition to being a sniper, also a medic. However, how often that comes up is largely determined by how incompetent everyone has been and needing that help. But in real terms, it does mean that Trieste is simultaneously quite far away and then running up to help before deliberately going far away. It's a bit of a weird one, but it'll work, I promise.
Right.
Oh yeah, I didn't think of that. I was making the character.
I love it. It's great. Quick, a fight. Tactically run away. Pew. Oh no, someone's hurt. Run close. Then tactically run away again. I help most when I'm very far away or very close.
Try not to bleed out. I'm getting a bus.
I think I need some kind of bike. I'm the only one who has to commute during a fight.
In terms of bonds between your characters, I come up with some bonds. You're welcome to establish any sort of previous history, which you can imagine. Please invent that as we go. Currently, as Alex said, his character served underneath Helen's character. It was Sergeant, underneath Sergeant
Redweather.
Helen, you fight in the arena occasionally alongside Monsoon, and have probably done a fight on each other and with each other at some point. Sorry, fought alongside and against.
Surfing on the body of one of them, just like.
Well,
okay.
You got to try and pull in the crowds.
Yes.
And Monsoon. You were a hunter back in the day, hunting Mega Corvidae on the top of the spire. Guys, it feels weird when you say it out loud rather than writing it down.
I don't know what Corvidae is anyway.
It's like crows.
Crows, rooks.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Ravens, magpies.
That's my fact for the day.
The people who will inherit the earth from us.
Okay.
Once we've messed up.
People?
Yeah, they're okay. Pretty peoply.
Yeah.
They bear grudges, Grant.
Yeah. Yeah, genuinely, they can remember you.
Yeah, they do. Remember you.
But you specifically.
Just me.
Just you. That's their only power.
They don't want to keep turning over and being like, where's Grant?
he says we're not people. And finally, you, Monsoon, you were taught occultism and possibly some. I like to think that Mel is responsible for you getting into magic.
Mm-hmm.
And responsible for, like, you had the looks to be an idol, and Mel looks like they're full of bees.
Rather impatient with the way that you've used my lessons just to make people fall in love with you all the time. But whatever appeals.
So one of the buns I've got is that you and I go drinking a lot, and I think that we complain about our respective...
Who's you when you're on audio?
Oh! Sergeant Redwell. Oh!
Sergeant Redwell.
So, yeah, we meet up. I drink mead.
I drink everything.
You drink everything.
I start at one end of the bar. Just keep going down.
Also, in terms of any specific powers you have, I've tried to give you a pricey of what you can do on your sheet. Mm-hmm. If there's anything that's particularly confusing to you, let's get that out of the way now. But otherwise, hopefully, you should be able to say, "Oh, I want to do this," and then we'll consult the rules as and when.
I am happy for B powers to be interpreted however they. I mean, it says please turn over this. I'm full of bees, okay? That's what it says.
And you can let them out.
And I can let them out.
We let the bees out? You.
When I did, and that caused D3 stress to everybody nearby.
That makes sense.
Plus they run away on account of the bees.
Yeah.
I would like to ask one question about resist. Everything else seems fairly transparent. With resist, I could see that meaning a few things.
Yes.
What's the resist skill?
It's the it's stopping electricity running through you.
Okay, cool.
No.
I can make that work.
It is... It is constitution, it is resist mind control, it is resist pain. So it is a catch-all thing for not having something affect you if you don't have
cool.
An active skill.
That is fine.
It's also the sort... Oh, also, the other thing about this, which won't come up in today's game, but you're damaged by sunlight, but you're several hundred feet underground at the moment, so that's probably
as
fine.
As it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've met all characters. In that case, I think we shall take a break there, and then we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Sounds good.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. So, yes, we have been introduced. I think we all have characters at this stage. I think we should probably now find out how we're going to ruin everything for you, Grant.
Well, I hope you try and ruin things. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a very exciting play.
Actually, so, I like the city the way it is. I have decided it's fine. Just going to go back to our ordinary jobs. I might try and get a job at that algae van. Fungus van.
See, I think they haven't really explored the ramifications of vans. I really think we can take vans as a thing very far.
The glasses are off.
We're literally 20 minutes in and Gran is massaging his forehead.
I'm going to start a van factory.
Like Tesla, but in Spire.
Yeah, sure, why not? Make it happen. Tear up that map. As a good GM, it's my responsibility to respond to the players, not railroads. So who wants to be Elon Musk? I've placed in the centre of the table a map. This is not the map drawn by professionals, it's a map drawn by me now. It's a series of locations connected with nodes. I'm not sure whether we should describe the map to the audience.
Nah. It's words and lines.
It's transcendent is what it is.
Yeah,
it transcends meaning.
But essentially, the arena is at the centre. Maybe if I describe it, and then you can tell me whether I've understood it.
Sounds good.
The arena itself is at the centre, off to one side, which I assume means downwards.
Yeah, why not?
There's the Sickle Moon pub and the Liner Noir artist.
L'Enfer Noir.
L'Enfer Noir, the artist's lodgings. Deeper than that, if we continue in that direction, we get to Derelictus and the Ministry Safe House. Like, if we're from the arena going further up and towards orderliness, there is the Mother Moon Sanctum. I don't understand. What, maybe it will reveal itself in time.
Mother Moon runs the place.
Of course, sorry.
So like the lines it indicate access.
So from the arena, we can get to the Gladiator Barracks, to the underneath the arena, which I assume is Phantom of the Opera-esque.
Just pianos.
Mazes and monsters and pianos all the way down.
It's just mops.
It is an opera.
Yeah. A mopera.
Oh. But with more blood.
Yes. That's what the mops are for.
God, Lydia! God.
In another way, going from the arena, there's the temporary military HQ, which is, I assume, to house all of these staff brought in to keep order while the poshos come to slum it in our artisty area and gentrify it all. Mm-hmm. And from there, there's the Elfir Sanctuary, where I assume the poshos live.
Yeah, it's a temporary posho encampment.
Right.
So there's been lots of silks hung from the walls and petals strewn around to make it nice for them.
Glamping, essentially.
See, I hear Elfir Sanctuary
in the city glamping.
I think of them like being carefully.
Yeah, kept like all in
tended.
Like in nice cages.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still cages, but, you know, nice cages.
Yeah.
And further up in that direction is the surface, which I assume is too hot and orderly for us to be that interested
in. What's the surface ever done for me? That's what I'd like to know.
Exactly. Down here, growing all our fungus, selling it in vans.
Oh my god.
It turns out that there is a van that got into Spire, and Grand isn't happy about it.
It's not that I'm not happy, it's I didn't authorise it. no one stops mentioning it.
Are you saying that in a game of Spire there's some kind of like subversion of authority going on?
Don't. I'm really sorry, your character drowns.
Oh, it's fair.
Yeah.
What's that awesome thing I get to do now, Andrew?
No, you just drown.
Wicked.
There is actually a special power if you follow the Masters of Drowning, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
you don't need
must,
to breathe,
yeah.
But you don't get that.
No, I don't.
That's irrelevant here.
Oh, yes, the Drowned King. Sorry, that sounded like a joke which they made up. Yeah, there is the power to remove the need to breathe.
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually read it.
I did too. I've forgotten it all.
Helen is a sensitivity reader. Helen's read the entire book with a fine-tooth comb.
I still can't remember any of the
She
books.
Proofread it, and we didn't ask her to. Which I think is probably the most Helen thing I can think of.
Yes!
Well, she didn't want to be insensitive.
That's true. Yeah. Hey. Nice. Comedy is over. Now it is time for role-playing.
Okay.
Yes. Serious role-playing faces.
Serious role-playing faces. Let me see those faces. Helen, that's not comedy serious. And there we go. That's what I want. Everyone else the comedy serious, and you looked at me like, I just delivered terrible news.
But with a lollipop in her mouth.
Yeah.
We smash back to the flashback to the briefing scene. You're in your safe house above the Sickle Moon pub in Red Row. You are being briefed by Magister Delve, who again looks like Natalie Dormer, undercut and all. And she has a program, a pamphlet for the play, The Fall of Spire. Thank you all for meeting me here today. As I'm sure you all be aware, you are esteemed operatives for the Ministry, in Red Row especially, and we figured this would be, given your connections to the arena and to the military, we figured this would be an excellent opportunity, and of course to Bees, Mel, we figured this would be an excellent opportunity to gain some leverage over the ruling classes. So, during these 3 days of celebration, apparently there's one act per day, goddess knows how long they are, but we'll have to do what we can to try and stay entertained. You have two main objectives. There is a promising young occultist by the name of Jessica Malrique. She's serving directly underneath Blossom and Winters and has been sequestered here for the duration of the play. She is a skilled occultist, perhaps a little naive, and we're interested in bringing her on at a later date. Now, this is very dangerous down here, and she's of noble blood, hasn't really been outside of the gilded halls too much, so I'd very much like if you could just keep an eye on her, make sure nothing uncomfortable happens to her. We do want to keep her alive and intact. The second thing I'd like you to do during this, the captain of the guard, the captain of the army who's come down here, a Captain Bonchance, has been positioned here. He is useful to us. We're going to have to ask you to turn him to the ministry in some way, and if you can't turn him, gather some sort of blackmail. But we're going to need him on side, and it's very rare he operates outside of the barracks up Spire, so it's an excellent opportunity to get some face-to-face time with the captain. She throws the program down on the table in front of you. You can see that this play is called The Fall of Spire.
Oh, God.
There is a list of... is it Dramatis Personae?
Yeah.
That's the one? Yeah. The characters are... There is the warrior poet New Rivers Broken. Oh, don't worry about writing these down.
God.
The warrior poet New Rivers Broken, who famously was the leader of the invasion of the force, who overthrew Spire. And that's played by Glimmering Beast of the Dawn, who you will know, Monsoon, as this... absolutely gorgeous prick. he's an elf here. He's got a little bit of a drug habit. A habit? He's habicted. he has a drug habit. He is addicted to glimmer, which is basically fantasy MDMA. And he's irritatingly good at fighting. He's something of a rival to you, but also he's an elf here, so there's kind of some difficulty there. Mm. His wife, Lady Versil, New Rivers Broken, is played by Mias Mari, who you will know. You've always had a bit of a crush on Mias Mari.
Ally indeed.
Mias Mari is hugely powerful.
That's it.
Like very strong. You suspect she has like illegal implanted technology, like drow technology, like they're called slivers, a sort of magic needles you push under your skin, and it's like permanent acupuncture, which gives you magical powers. But it hurts and kills you, because Spire. She has too many of these, but for the time being, she's doing great, and you like her moxie and her chutzpah. There is...
I feel like holding up one fist and saying, this is moxie, holding up the other and go, this is chutzpah.
Yeah. You can get chutzpah written really small.
Like to two and a half letters per knuckle.
Moxie
kind of
and shut. I guess you could have chutzpah. Hey. Across it. That'd be great. Yeah, that'd work. Those are the main. Also, there are several. I'm going to say about a dozen characters on each side, like minor lords and nobles and military leaders who are too difficult for me to make up names for on the train.
Mel's going to flick through and then be disappointed that no bees and or other insects seem to feature.
Mind peering over your shoulder just with the occasional. Oh God.
Indeed, there are no bees. in this, but it does. It's also, from a historical point of view, really not okay the way in which they're reimagining this.
Right.
The drow, they have Lord Jan de Sterra, and it says in brackets after his name, a coward. and the Scryatrix Aline Malreek, who is played by Jessica Malreek.
Interesting.
The Scryatrixes are a sect of Lejan, so you'd certainly be aware of them. Tiesto? What do they call you?
Tiesto.
DJ Tiesto.
You certainly be aware of them. Paul Oakenfold. The Lejan are a order. Sorry, the Scryatrixes are an order of blind seers. And it's possible to sort of blind yourself temporarily and get in, or you can do it permanently. And, you know, you have to just sort of see by remembering what's
Never
there.
Never had the time for them. Too ironic.
So, Jessica Malreek is playing potentially one of her ancestors or relatives.
Definitely a distant ancestor. And also it says after the gods, and there is the Solar Pantheon, who are the High Elf gods, as what are they? Sister Spring, Father Summer, Brother Harvest, and Mother Winter, and they are your standard Sun Pantheon, mm-hmm. and the dominant religion in Spire. And they are opposed by Domnu, who is the Trinity, the three goddesses, Limye, a glorious lady, who you worship,
yep.
Lombre, our hidden mistress, who you all worship because you're secretly part of a paramilitary terrorist cell, mm-hmm. and Lecole, who sets things on fire. But Lecole probably won't come up too much.
Can you remind me my goddess one more time that I definitely know?
Limye, or our glorious lady.
Thank you.
The play, it seems, details the overthrow of Spire in a very sanitized way. It also outlines the drow as a bunch of useless cowards, full of infighting, full of... they're superstitious, they're stupid... and they are, in a way, like, it was really better that the High Elves turned up to make, like, sort of take it off their hands because they couldn't handle it. Of course, it is a Descend play, so that means that the plot is semi-improvised and it can never really be too sure what's going to happen. But you've fought in the arenas enough and seen enough arena fights, and you've read enough history, Lydia's character, to know that they probably don't want it to go any other way aside from the way they want it to go.
Yeah.
Which is very much against the spirit.
Mm. And they've got this incredible fighter playing the lead role, so...
Two incredible fighters playing the lead Elfia role, right. Yeah. And just, yeah, a man with the word coward written off to his name on the other side.
Right.
But, you know, it's all up for grabs. And I've never put a play in a game without one of the player characters replacing an actor. So we'll see if we can make a first.
Of course.
So rather than sort of have a back and forth where you ask questions about this, we'll simply flash back to this scene if you have any questions about what you want to know, about if you asked her any questions beforehand. It is possible to contact her, but it's going to take longer than you'd like.
So then in flashback, let's be honest, it's play.
Opera, technically.
Sure.
There's a lot of yelling.
Well, you know. How important is it that this actually, you know, comes off and doesn't just fall apart halfway through?
Well, you could interrupt the play, I suppose, but the military are there to try and stop it being interrupted. So you might want to let it continue, unless you want to... Well, war isn't the right word, but they certainly have the tools to bring that to us.
Okay.
If you were to shut it down, I'd do it very, very well.
Right.
I'd recommend. Plus, it could be an interesting show. Some of those artists can really sing.
Not one for culture.
What do we know about this Bonchance?
Bonchance. Young drow, enlisted, spent his durance about 6 summers ago there and has since been promoted to captain, which is excellent. Very, very young man. And is clearly showing a lot of aptitude, whether that's in kowtowing to the Elfia or whether that's natural aptitude, I don't quite know.
natural talents I've got very little time for.
I can find out how he really got there.
Yes, we're hoping that perhaps one who's so young won't have had enough time to properly been inoculated or what's the word?
Indoctrinated.
Indoctrinated. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, the physicals alone do take time, so maybe it's both.
Yeah, probably. We're hoping that someone so young and who has such a stellar rise to power could be converted easily, or at least taken advantage of. He must have made some sort of mistake.
There must be a reason that he's ascended so fast. We'll uncover it.
Yeah, I suspect a deal or a bribe. I'll find out.
So, out of character, I have a thing called Find Connection. Once per session, declare two NPCs connected. So I can just find a way, right?
You can just say any two NPCs, and I have to tell you how they're connected, even if they weren't connected in my head.
I have a squire called Mistletoe.
Nice. Cool.
So is he connected to Mistletoe?
Well, it would be easy because then I could go and...
I have a page called Gadaliv.
I don't know. It's a Gadaliv called Page. Gadaliv means book guardian.
Oh, okay. Whereas page is a job.
Yeah, right.
So this was confusing.
I understand.
So page, my page.
Gadaliv. Yes. Page, your Gadaliv.
Essentially.
Page, your friend. Yeah. Page eats books.
Oh, okay.
Paige has a face which doesn't show up on radio.
Well, you can go and play with Mistletoe.
Right.
Okay. I don't know why Helen brought up that she has a squire.
But... I think because it was an easy NPC to connect.
Oh, yeah. Right.
She was just like, here's someone expendable. Here's my good friend expendable.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't... Yeah, okay. How are they connected?
Sorry, which two?
See, I was assuming that it would be useful to have to work out Bonchance's connection to someone higher up so that we could then bribe him about it. But if it turns out that he's got a filthy past
with Mistletoe.
I'm not quite sure how this will be useful in the plot.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't going to connect those two.
But blackmail.
We don't have to do this now.
You can have it hovering there.
I wanted to make clear that I have that. But how about we return to this? Cut this and return.
Mistletoe
to
arrives, bearing a frosty stein of beer for you. Hello, sir.
Thanks.
I got some smaller beers for your friends, as you asked.
Sergeant Redweather slightly contemptuous gives you your smaller beers and then takes this gigantic tankard.
It's like the top of one of those water coolers. In the bar.
Yeah, and just like plugs the bottom half into his mouth.
Don't want to dull our senses, do we?
This won't dull anyone's senses.
Oh, no, the sergeant gets hit in the face quite a lot. I think it's beneficial if he can't feel things.
Yeah, Mistletoe's not wrong there, actually.
Oh, no, shut up. I thought that was your fighting style, sir.
Don't be giving away my trade secrets.
Okay, sorry, sir. Might I go and sit near the fight, sir?
Yeah, you might learn something.
Yeah, sure, thank you, sir. And Mistletoe, give me a shirt if you need anything. And Mistletoe sort of totters off. And Mistletoe, they're carrying all of your stuff. like tottering around like an intern, getting down. And then they sit with their chin on their hands. And look out and watch people like knocking the tar out of each other with armored gloves. And as the cameras panning
Grant's
up,
naive face is actually terrifying.
there's a little spatter of blood goes on Mistletoe's face, and they don't move.
Oh, God, worse.
Mistletoe.
Yeah, my favorite. Honestly, Redweather, you can do better. You really can.
No, you don't.
You've fallen so far.
Look, you. Excuse you.
I think maybe if we don't start an argument before we've even begun the mission, that would be pretty good.
I taught you everything you know.
You taught me everything you know. It's not quite the same thing, but let's move on.
Who taught who everything who knows?
Yeah, I got confused by this.
Did Helen's character teach Alex's character everything Ben's character knows?
Which just isn't true, because my character taught Ben's character.
I'm sorry, backtrack. I never said my character had to make sense. This is all fine.
as we've already established, my character and Helen's character go out drinking together a lot. And this is one of those points where Alex's character has said that and we just...
We have a bad time. I'm like, I'm going to tell you some just bad stuff about this guy later.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Over some... And in fact, probably because you know me, you got Mistletoe to bring me a small thing of mead rather than beer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's got to be honey.
Sure.
It's got to be honey. don't disrespect me with this hops stuff.
So... What are your initial plans for finding out information on this? The first day starts, and you can see there is someone singing incredibly loudly and quite badly because it looks like they were brought on to fight rather than sing. about the glorious burden of the High Elves.
Shotgun not watching the play or being near the stage.
So yeah, what are your plans? What do you want to do? What do you want to find out? Who do you want to pressure?
Why don't you military types sneak into the barracks and find out what's going on? What sort of...
Yeah, sounds like a decent idea.
It's very rare that they treat their drow enlisted men and women anything like as well as they deserve. There will be frustrations to exploit.
Yeah, I'll find out if anyone's got any gossip on Captain Bosch.
I'll go poke around his office, maybe, see what I can see.
Meanwhile, I'll try and ingratiate myself with Jessica. See if I can keep an eye on her for the duration of the play.
I can study the histories, see at what point in the narrative Jessica's character might come into risk or peril, and make sure that we intervene at exactly the right point.
That's actually a really good idea.
Fantastic.
With the power of research
and peace.
Yes!
And I think we should probably end the episode there. We're set up, we know the game, we know, broadly speaking, what our plan is, and I think we have something to execute upon.
Yep.
Right, in that case then, we will...
It's bees.
It's bees. It's always bees.
It's so bees we will all the time.
Return the next down. Week with bees all the way down.
Yay!
All right.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye! Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
I did 4 pages of prep for this.
That's
which is
more
four
than
times...
an entire season of my prep.
Yes, yes.
That's a lie. I've seen...
Yeah, we know that's
we've all seen your big folder.
You want to pretend to be cool in front of the guest, Jen, don't you? We all know you have a folder with a calculator in it.
He's like shy
it's,
little
it's
like...
It's true.
Yeah,
I winged it for 2 seasons, but then things got complicated.
Now he's got patience.
I'm too busy smoking cigarettes and kissing girls to prep Dungeons & Dragons.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.